Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and hello everybody from our fifth edition, actually, from the second day of ITB, and it's now the early afternoon, and it's still a very busy day, and I'm very glad to have as my special guest, Mrs. Wendy Olsen-Killian.
Hello.
Mrs. Killian, she's the CEO of Rome to Rio, which is a traveling platform that leads you everywhere, basically, not only from Rome to Rio, but basically from A to B, wherever A and B might be.
That's right. It's a platform that is answering one deceptively simple question of how to get there. And that's around the world, across 240 countries and territories, answering that question, how do I get from A to B to C, D, E, and F? And all of the different modes you can use to do so. So whether that be plane, train, automobile, bus, water buffalo, hot air balloon, funicular, anything that you can. And in all those different combinations of those multi-modes of traveling.
You took that position as a CEO not that long ago, right?
It's about 18 months ago. So it's been a year and a half. It's gone by very quickly.
I've read that you're from Washington State, actually.
Correct.
You studied in Washington State. You studied at Tacoma, right?
Correct. You got good intelligence.
And then you had several positions in the U.S. for various companies all over the country.
I moved, U.S. Yeah.
And then you moved back to Washington State.
That's right. I once had a recruiter call it the salmon effect, like the fish.
Yeah.
That, you know, the salmon always go home to spawn and have babies. And they say that's what happens with people from the Northwest. You go and move around the United States and have these experiences. You're like a fish. You go home and you have children and then you stay there.
Okay.
I say, but the fish dies after that. So
they die.
Exactly. So I said, let's put that analogy to the side. So, yeah. So I had the opportunity to live all over the U.S. And then we knew when we went back to the Northwest, that would be.
Yeah. I mean, from all the great places you can go in the U.S. and all the great sites and cities you can visit in the U.S. I mean, Washington State is a little bit an underrated state. I mean, you don't have over-tourism there, right?
Well, I'm biased and I definitely think that it is a bit under the radar. People think of Seattle. They think of
that's world famous, the fish market,
Starbucks, the fish market, airplanes, Microsoft, Amazon, all of those things. Yeah. But Washington State is actually very diverse. In when you think about the West Coast, all the West Coast states kind of have this is that you have from ocean to mountains to plains, you have all of these different types of geographies, which means you have all these different types of communities and industries. So where I grew up is actually in the heart of Washington State in the central part, which is known for agriculture. Famous apples, Washington famous apples. We grow 80-ish percent of hops for America. So we grow your beer and wine. We have all sorts of fruit, cherries and pears of the orchard that I grew up on. My parents are beekeepers. And so it's actually very different than what you think about Seattle. And that diversity of being able to be in the ocean and then go skiing and then be out in the middle of nowhere camping, you can do all of that in a day. I lived in Seattle. I studied in Tacoma. I love all of the state. I love everything that we have. And I just love the open-mindedness of the Pacific Northwest and the sense of community.
Despite all the great places and journeys you can do to the U.S., I mean, from a German perspective, as a German or as a European traveler, relations between Europe and the U.S. are not at the best in terms when it comes to traveling at the moment. When I talk to tour operators here from the U.S. or people who are in the U.S.-German travel market, of course, they have a difficult time at the moment because Germans are very hesitant or Europeans are very hesitant at the moment to come to the U.S. for visa restrictions that might have become, you might have problem at the borders. So there's negative media coverage about all that. On my podcast here, you're the only American. What do you make out of that situation right now?
The world is a very complicated place right now and getting more complicated by the day. What I look at is we have to give travelers confidence that they have the information, know how to get someplace, have confidence in the destination, and that they can make these decisions. Governments are complicated. People are amazing. And when we think about all of the people you meet in all of the countries, I think of some of the countries that I've been to that are a bit more controversial or were at the time in which I went to visit. I wasn't talking to the politicians. I wasn't talking to those people. I was talking to those who are in travel and tourism. I'm talking to the people at the ground who are offering amazing hospitality. And what I would say is that that is an amazing experience no matter where you go. So that's why information becomes the power and the opportunity for people to be able to go into these destinations. They need to be very educated and understand what those restrictions are so there are no problems. I think that the challenges that people have on the borders are actually very, very small. They just get very blown up for political reasons or whatnot right now. But really the reality of it is it's very seamless to travel inside in and out of the United States. It's not always perfect, but it's not always perfect. I've had my challenges at Frankfurt Airport, for example, or the long lines in Berlin earlier this week as people were trying to get through the lines. So I think it's understanding, giving knowledge, giving confidence, and then giving people opportunities to connect, because this is the best industry in the world because we connect people and we make the world come closer together. And I'm very Pollyanna about it. I do think that we can travel the world better by getting people talking more. And then that will help all of these things that are challenges across the governments.
Yeah, especially when you look at people who work for DMOs or do marketing work for whatever the destination is. People are so dedicated and passionate about marketing their destination. And
they're so representative. I love it. It's so cool to ask people about what their favorite parts are of a destination.
So the message is basically keep on keeping on.
We have to keep on keeping on. And we have to keep traveling because that's just how we get closer together. Because if we are disconnected, we're going to get further apart and that becomes dangerous.
So when we look at the other direction from West to East, Americans going to Europe, how is that market? Because, I mean, from Rome to Rio, it's also for Americans who are not so familiar how to travel with Europe. You offer a lot of help for them, right?
The thesis, the problem that the founders were trying to solve, it was actually two expats who worked for Microsoft and lived in Seattle, but they were Australian. And they wanted to come to Europe. And they had heard, we all have learned, it's a romantic way of traveling throughout Europe by train. And they thought, oh, this will be easy. But we all know that it's not as easy as it could be and that there's lots of complications. How do I find where to go? What's the schedules? How do I buy my ticket? How do I transfer? All of those things. They couldn't find any good information that really gave them those answers. So they went back to Australia and they built this company. And that was really one of the founding problems. And then it's expanded to be much more global. Americans, it's a very big market for us who are looking at European travel. So that's one of the biggest audiences we have on our site is how we do connect those Europeans back or the Americans back to the European market to figure out how with ease to travel and to live that romantic dream that we saw in the movies or we think about, we hear about, even on the soccer field, on the sidelines, my son's soccer game, someone's like, why isn't there a site? They literally, the week I had started at Rome 3, why isn't there a site that makes that easy? It's not easy. And I handed them, they're like, well, that's what I've been looking for. So that is absolutely, there's a lot of demand and interest in Europe. There always is. Americans, many of them have ethnic backgrounds and familial backgrounds with Europeans, and we are drawn back to European continent all the time. I'm bringing my family this summer for the first time. My kids are going to be able, they've been to Turkey, they've been to London, but they haven't actually been in Western or Central Europe. So we're going to come this summer.
And this whole notion of traveling Europe by train, is it still a very
absolutely
enticing, romantic idea?
Absolutely.
But it's a complicated thing to do, yeah? Because we have different railways and different bus systems. And
that's what we do, both at Rome to Rio. And then we were bought about 5 years ago by Omio. And Omio is solving that booking problem on the very fragmented ground transportation front. And so that you can have this unified itinerary and ticket that you can book there that make it easier. So we're just trying to continue to make it easier for people, give them trust, give them confidence so that they can have this amazing European experience.
Okay. So is Europe your main market at the moment or
is a big market for us? It's an important market for us, the United States. You know, when we think about the challenge with the World Cup being across so many different locations, three different countries, all of these different sites, that's a problem we're solving as well. We have a very large presence. We have hundreds of millions of travelers who are coming to our sites every year from every region. Mm-hmm. So they're all important. And one of the things we're seeing, surface transportation, ground transportation being much more important to people. And whether that be due to some of the regional flight restrictions in Europe, Dua Lipa posting about going on the train, it's cool. People are wanting to do this. So we're seeing a large uptick in people searching for trains, searching for alternative types of transport all over the world. And so this is just in general, we're seeing this incredible demand on how to get to places. And a lot of people are going beyond the capital cities. They're going beyond the really well-known points of interest. They're looking for that undiscovered hidden gem. They're looking for smaller destinations, which is incredibly impactful from a sustainability perspective on how they get there, and from an economic impact, and from a dispersion by design. Let's get people out of these crowded places that really aren't that pleasant when they have too many people. I don't believe in over tourism. I believe in responsible tourism. And so we need to get people out into these other places so that they can benefit both the communities and the travelers.
I grasped a little bit from your session here on the East Travel Stage some minutes ago, and it was basically about AI. And I think you're very confident about AI. And
I love AI.
AI will solve a lot of the problems the travel industry had in the past, or it will.
AI is such a powerful tool. It's how we use it and how, like, we look at LLMs as being great partners of ours because we have a lot of unique content that solves problems. And we want to make sure that we are keeping that fresh, whether it be schedules and routes. We know these things are always changing in travel. How do we make sure that we have the best information? And we do that using AI and other types of large data ways of helping us scale faster. We also have this human verified element. So without having that human verified, there was a destination recently in Tasmania, in Australia, in which AI created a hot springs that didn't exist. And thousands of people were directed to there and they were started asking people locally, where is this? And they're like, it doesn't exist. So how do you get people confidence? You can use AI as a very powerful tool. We have 35 experts around the world who are validating and saying, these routes work, they're real, they will work in the real world when you do them. We create that trust because without trust in the way you get there, you're not going to trust the destination. But AI is an incredibly powerful tool for us to do all sorts of things, to make us more efficient, to be able to, we just updated our app. We did so much on it and it was almost all written by AI, someone with prompts and being able to do this. We were able to do it more quickly. We're able to get more experiences out to our customers in a way. We can give them more connection to our partners to book. Ground transportation, for example, wasn't an option that we had. Now we do. Getting them more maps, being able to give them the keys to the castle to personalize the experience how they want. If they're looking for the most sustainable route, they can find that. If they're looking for the fastest or the cheapest or any of these sorts of things, we're able to provide a lot more of this data at real time because of our use of AI.
So it's trust, it's efficiency, it's accuracy.
It's depth and breadth, having as much information as we can.
And we can also manage over tourism with it. We can redirect people. You think
that's dispersion by design.
You think AI will do that, but people will not?
I think AI will help us surface it. And then we as an industry, we have to share this. And then as we partner with tourism boards and destination organizations, we partner with destinations on creating more routes, showcasing off-season travel. You know, I think that's one thing we can do. We can just create alternatives and we can showcase those in a way. If we know what people are looking for, so we have, you know, these hundreds of millions of people, we can understand the demand, and then we can suggest alternatives that we know what they want. Well, here's another thing. Have you thought about this? Or you can stay here and you can maybe go in and out via train and see something, and you can have all these experiences. Absolutely, we can do that.
Would you consider overtourism a real problem for the industry? Or because some tourism managers say, well, it's not such a big thing. We can get rid of that very easily.
The demand is not the problem. We want all of that demand. We just have to disperse it in a responsible way. Just like we did with Visit Brazil, is getting people. Rio is phenomenal. Go to Rio, but then you can go see all of these other regions and impact small and medium businesses and have all of this impact in the world. And we show you how you can do that sustainably through different types of transportation. And all of these things come together, we absolutely can solve this. And it's better for the traveler. We put the traveler at the heart of everything we do, right? When I look at my past experience, I started my career at J.D. Power, and that was where we learned the power of data. So important. And then at Expedia, we put the traveler at the heart of everything we do. So taking that data, taking those experiences, bringing that together on a platform like Rome to Rio, where we then partner with tourism boards and others to try and solve this, it's working really, really well because travelers want to find those undiscovered locations. They want to find those hidden gems. We just have to surface that information, and they're self-selecting that. We, like I said, we're seeing towns and villages and small enclaves are the things that people are really looking for on our platform. They look at the big ones as well. But when we bring these all together, that's the really powerful impact. And then we solve this. Like I said, I don't like the word over tourism. I think we just need to focus on responsible tourism. How do we take irresponsible tourism and shift it?
So it's basically all these so-called secondary places. They need more awareness. They need more marketing. But you think they're attractive enough in themselves?
Absolutely. And we just need to tell people how to get there. I don't like the word secondary because I'm like, they're not second. They're just not as big or as well known. And we don't want to send people there in an irresponsible way that they can't handle. So it's really looking at how do we get the right traveler in the right place at the right time, which is what we're all aiming to do, because that's going to be the best thing for the community as well as the best thing for the traveler.
So that means you don't have to go to Paris. There are 50 other cities in France which are as beautiful or even more beautiful.
I think so.
Because there's less people there.
I think there's so many that I have been to France multiple times. I've never been to Paris. Yeah. I have seen amazing places. I've driven through the countryside. I've done all of these different things. I've traveled through Germany by car, and I've seen places that, you know, really were off the beaten track. And those are my best memories.
You wouldn't call that secondary places.
No, just undiscovered.
Undiscovered.
Lesser known.
That's a better term. What I read from your biography, you have worked in so many different industries. You've worked in advertising. You've worked for the travel industry. You worked in automotive, you worked in e-commerce, and you even worked in agriculture.
Yeah.
What was that agriculture? What did you...
My parents are farmers. And so they have cherries and pears, but cherries are a very interesting crop because you have a very short window. When they're ready, you have to get them off the trees. And so you're talking millions of pounds of cherries. You have 10 days to get them off the trees. And they all have to be hand-picked by a human, because we have very hilly land and other things like that. So I would go back, and they identified this problem where they had gotten too large to use the type of old school notebook, pen, paper. It's all piecework as you pay it, all those sorts of things. They couldn't do that. They need to bring technology into it. And so what we did is we implemented a system using iPhones and scanning and bringing technology into the harvest so that this small business could then continue to grow and expand. So that's one example of I ran the harvest. And what I learned, I would take vacation from Expedia. So I was at Expedia for about 12 years. What I learned were so many valuable lessons I could bring back to the team about the power of even pitching products. There was a product that could solve this problem. I didn't even look at it because the pricing structure was completely wrong for us. And then there's elements of, I mean, innovation. You don't have an option to not get those off. So when you come and you have a tractor coming in and it's somehow a stick is keeping something together, it's because you have no option to not have that tractor used at a time. So you had to be innovative. Failure is not an option. And ultimately, all of this comes down to having the right people on your team, because that's what makes the magic happen. And so there were so many corporate types of initiatives that I thought about when you looked on a farm in the heat of the summer, harvesting cherries. It could tie it back, but ultimately people is what makes everything work, and you have the right team and all working towards the same goal, you'll achieve it. And the agritourism, and we think about, you know, in my slice of the world, we grow, like I said, 85% of hops for America, and the type of beers that we can make there, we can't make elsewhere because of fresh hop and how you get them in, the wines, but also just the fruit. And people are really curious about what they eat and where it comes from, and who are the people who are making it happen? It's closely tied.
And they all experience it, qualify for a career in tourism, right?
My first job was working at a fruit stand. and selling fruit. And it was a lot of tourists coming through this tiny town, 500 residents. And they would come through and they would be on their way to Mount Rainier, to the national park, into the mountains. And they did want to know about it. When was this picked? How is it grown? What do you do? And that's when I think I started to get the bug of, where are all these people from? Where are they going? From all over the country.
Wendy, it was great having you here. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.